910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Today marks 2 years since the start of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. President Biden issuing hundreds of new sanctions against Russia Friday, targeting the country's war machine. After a controversial Alabama Supreme Court ruling that has prompted some hospitals in the state to pause in vitro fertilization, former President Trump saying he supports IVF.
The Republican Party should always be on the side of the miracle of life and the side of mothers, fathers, and their beautiful babies. And IVF is an important part of that.
The Biden campaign, meanwhile, saying the Alabama ruling is a downstream effect of Trump's Supreme Court nominations, who eventually helped overturn Roe v. Wade. U.S. officials once again tracking another high-altitude balloon of unknown origin. It comes just over a year since the Chinese spy balloon grabbed national headlines and was shot down. Fighter jets scrambled over Utah Friday. This is ABC News. An American couple is missing after police say three escaped prisoners stole their yacht off the Caribbean island of Grenada.
The family of Ralph Hendry and his wife, Kathy Brandel, from Virginia, say the couple who lived on their catamaran were last seen by a fellow boater Sunday afternoon. A sailing association says the boat was found abandoned with evidence of apparent violence. 3 days after the couple vanished, the suspects were captured by police in nearby St. Vincent and the Grenadines. All three were already facing charges for violent crimes when they escaped a police station on Grenada and allegedly targeted the couple's catamaran.
ABC's Victor Okendo. It's one of the driest places on Earth, yet kayakers are taking to parts of Death Valley after a series of record rainstorms battered the area and replenished Lake Manly. Park rangers say the Badwater Basin, which runs along Central California's border with Nevada, is typically a salt flat, but this year it's a lake after Death Valley has received more than double its annual rainfall. I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
The Todd Almost Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Farmers have been urged for years to adopt more climate-friendly and sustainable practices. New numbers suggest they're making progress. Mike Moan reports.
This month, the USDA released the new Census of Agriculture, data that only comes around every 5 years. Mike Lavender with the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition says there's numbers detailing how much farmland is being used for climate-friendly practices. He notes there were some bright spots, but also room for opportunity.
Some of the data that we're seeing within the census reinforces for us that in so many ways it is about access to programs within USDA or information, making sure that we can use all of those avenues to drive adoption in the way that we know there is demand for.
Conservation data examples include an increase in the use of no-till practices, while the number of farmers using rotational grazing is down. Between 2017 and 2022, Wisconsin farmers boosted key conservation work, including the planting of cover crops. And while the data is new, Lavender cautions it doesn't capture how farmers are responding to new incentives from the federal government.
This is certainly pre-Inflation Reduction Act investment data. So while this is, of course, accurate and really important to wrap our heads around, there's even newer data that we're getting from Inflation Reduction Act funding demand that it's important to take into account.
The IRA provided nearly $20 billion to bolster funding for popular conservation programs. The USDA reported that applications exceeded the extra funding that was set aside. Ag researchers have noted while there's demand for these incentives, farmers have often faced barriers to being approved, with only 1 in 4 applicants being successful. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low of 5 to 10 above. For tomorrow, sunshine's back, breezy, and highs in the upper 30s. On Sunday, warming to the low 40s with a mixture of sun and clouds. Windy, warmer, sunny, and mid-50s Monday. Right now, it's 3.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matinee on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. You are listening to us live on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM. My name is Greg Bach. Yes, I am the regular co-host of the show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, but Jane is out today and I am sitting in for her. Just a couple of things before we get started and move on to our next guest. We got some sports coming up, friends. Calvin, are you a Brewers fan? I know you love the Bucks. You are a Bucks guy.
You know, I'm not a huge baseball guy in general, but I always root for the home team. So go Brewers.
Calvin on the boards right there. He knows how to rope in the fans. Calvin going for the Brewers. This week we are actually kicking off spring training tomorrow, the 24th. Milwaukee at San Diego, 2 p.m. broadcast, spring training. You can listen to that news from the center, WRCE Richland Center, for 1450 a.m., 107.7 FM, or Racine, WRJN, 1400 a.m., 99.9 FM. Listen to some baseball. Get yourselves ready because I'm excited about the baseball season. I am also very, very excited to have our next guest on the show. She is not only a business development consultant in the legal space, she's an improv coach at Comedy Sports Milwaukee, where she runs their applied improv workshops for corporations, nonprofits, associations, or any groups who want to get some improv in their life. Not only is she all of those things, but she is an incredibly good friend who I love and adore dearly. Miss Amy Westrup, welcome to Matinee on Air. How are you doing, Amy?
Hello. I'm great. Good morning. It's so nice to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. Now, I reached out to you. I've been actually wanting to have you on the show for a while for a few things because you are for me first a friend, but also a performer. But you also have like as people get to know you, you find out that you have this ridiculous corporate life where if you meet Amy and you're like, oh, I went to the bakery this week and I saw my friend Bobby, and she's gonna be like, oh, I know Bobby. Bobby comes, she knows everybody.
Oh, you mean Robert? Yeah, he gets 3 crawlers every Tuesday. I know.
Well, he should only be getting 2 crawlers. We know he went to the doctor.
Old man Smith's boy. Yeah, I see him there.
See,
yeah, I do have a ridiculous network, and it. I will say, Greg, it started. I moved here 25 years ago. I moved to Milwaukee, and I didn't know anyone.
Yeah.
And so I had that opportunity to kind of like reinvent myself because nobody knew me. So yeah. I was just like, I've got nothing to lose. So everywhere I went, I was just like, hey, Amy Westrup. And like, I don't know. I just love meeting people. But my favorite thing to do is to connect people. So that's why I just make a point of like building that network. And I love connecting people with others. It's fun.
You are incredibly good at that. I was looking to book a guest to speak on a topic that we'll be talking about more next week, hopefully. And what turned into me texting you went from an email between 3 people to about 1,000 people. And yeah. I love it. And I love it because
from like at an Am Law 100 law firm from DC all the way to Milwaukee. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
I love it. Now, I love it. But yeah, no, it's really fun.
Now you work at a Comedy Sports in Milwaukee. Now, for those who don't know, Comedy Sports in Milwaukee is the very first Comedy Sports. It's been around for 40 years. 40 years.
Yeah.
Started in Milwaukee by Dick Chudnow, wonderful man, and teaches.
And Bob Orvis. And Bob Orvis.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Teaches the art of short form improv comedy, things you might be seeing on things like Whose Line Is It Anyways? And Amy, you are a teacher there. You do the applied improv workshops. And that means you integrate that into like more of a professional manner.
Yeah, absolutely. So I came up through the workshops. Yeah. There are four levels of workshops, 101 through 104. And I did at the time, there were three levels. So I did 101 through 103. I became a professional player. And while I was taking those workshops, I realized, you know, I do some of these things in my consulting business when I'm teaching people how to get better at developing business and building books of business. And so I thought, wow, this is crazy how many of these tools I am starting to use and how much more confident I was in my ability to, you know, say network and connect with people and build my own book of business. So so then I became a professional player there and I started teaching their applied improv program. I can't take all the credit for it. I worked really closely with Dave Nelson and Alan Guskowski, who Rolly Cafaro. They've been there for, you know, 20 plus years and are the cool thing about everyone that works at Comedy Sports, and Greg, you know this because you worked there as well. Everyone has a really unique background, kind of like what they do by day and then they do Comedy Sports by night. And it's so nice when those two worlds collide.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so now I'm teaching 101, which is the intro to improv, but then I do focus on the applied improv workshops that we do. And we'll do workshops from anyone from, you know, like the peanut butter and jelly factory that has five employees to a Fortune 100 company. I mean, you name it, we've done and we do them all over the country. I mean, I spent my summer going around the country teaching these. And what's great is that everyone thinks like, oh, I can't do improv because it's, you know, like I'm not funny. Improv has almost nothing to do with being funny. It's just observing your surroundings, the people around you, and then finding a way to connect with them and responding in the moment and being really, really present. And we've had a big surge in requests for these workshops. And I honestly believe that it's coming out of COVID. People are still hybrid and then some are completely hybrid. Yeah. Some are back to working with one another. And people sadly have forgotten how to connect.
Yeah.
And it by no fault of their own, right? Like we've been forced into the little boxes on Zoom. We teach these for people that are still operating in the virtual space as well. We teach a lot of those. Because it's just different. Everyone's lives are really, really fast paced right now. And taking these improv tools and just like focusing, being present in the moment, making eye contact, active listening, they're really, really important. And it just helps you not only excel in your business, but excel in your life because you're just more focused. So I don't know. They're fun tools. It's a fun workshop to teach.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm like you mentioned, I came up through Comedy Sports. That's where I got my first training, where I started back in the mid aughts. And children, listen to me. I took comedy in the aughts.
Well, back then, yes, but, exactly.
You know, that's the thing too. When we talk about people having this notion, and it's a fair notion to have, most of the improv we see in TV and movies is comedy based. They're going for the joke, they're going for entertainment, going for laughter. Do you ever have in these corporate settings people who think you're coming in to teach them how to be not funny but like on the spot? They come out, they're like, I was not expecting any of this. I'm finding out things about myself I didn't realize I could do in the moment, and it had nothing to do with comedy. It has to do with, as you said, connecting.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say 80% of the workshops, that is the end result, because there are some cases where they don't know what is going to happen. I've been in cases where they're like, okay, guys and gals, surprise, we have Amy here from Comedy Sports, and she's going to teach you an improv workshop where if you could run out of a room faster, I've never seen it. And it's like, hold on. And because people get really anxious. And then I always just start with saying, you know, it's not about being funny. I'm living proof of that. It really is about connecting. Yeah. And the idea, you know, anyone that's listening to the show that's done any amount of improv will know that like the cornerstone of improv is this idea of yes and.
Yes.
But yeah. In that corporate space, yes. And so in that corporate or like legal space where I hang out in a lot, the idea of saying yes and to everything is really, really foreign. I mean, I'm speaking to the legal space, they're the land of no, right? So by the end of these workshops, getting them to be more open-minded by saying, yeah, and that's a good idea. And I'm going to take your idea, I'm going to think about it, and then I'm going to move it forward. I'll give you an example. I did one with the Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
And we did an exercise and I said, just think of a, like a ridiculous statement for the Girl Scouts. And we're going to just like, yes. And through this idea and like, we're going to buy the Green Bay Packers. Okay. Now that is ridiculous.
That'd be amazing.
However, wouldn't it be amazing?
Maybe the right? Green Bay Thin Mints.
Oh yes. The shortbreads if they're not doing well. But so we took this idea, right? We like, yes. And it. By the end of, it was about 15 minutes. Obviously, we did not decide to buy the Green Bay Packers. However, the idea was fleshed out of that idea that, you know what, we're not going to buy the Green Bay Packers, but we're going to set up a Girl Scout cookie stand at least one home game this year. And they did that. I think they sold like $6,000 in cookies.
Of course they did.
Yeah. What goes better? Tailgates and cookies? Yeah, exactly. Calvin's like, sign me up. I'm there. it was extraordinary. And that came out of a ridiculous idea.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, if you're the person in your organization or if there's that person in your organization that every time you get up the courage and the gumption to be like, hey, Greg, I have this great idea for a new product or a great idea for a pitch to a new client, and they go, no, that's never going to work. Get out of my office. Yeah. You're never going to go in there again.
Yeah. Now, you're never going to go with an idea. You're never going to be creative around them because I understand that. Amy, let's hold on for a second here.
Absolutely.
Take you to the next portion of the show. We're going to, you know, now Calvin, all that talk about Girl Scout cookies, I got to go find myself a peanut butter patty or a lemonade. By the way, there are snacks here, folks, on the live stream are talking about snacks. There are snacks here, but they're in the next room because if they were here, you just hear me chomping on granola bars and M&Ms and things like that. So stay close. We're going to return with Amy Westrup to talk more about comedy and also making new decisions in life at an age where people might not expect you to make changes. So
let's go.
Stay close. You were listening to Matt and Air on Air. I'm Greg Box sitting in for Jane on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Update your floors with 11% off Great Lakes Vinyl Flooring at Menards. It's a perfect addition for any room in your home. Find a wide selection of waterproof and durable floors that are easy to install. Great Lakes Vinyl Floors also feature an attach pad for comfort and noise reduction. Heritage Vinyl Plank is only $3.29 per square foot after 11% rebate. Good through October 22nd. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Save big money at Menards.
The Todd Alba Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. I'm Greg Bach, filling in for Jane today. Don't worry, she'll be back on Monday. You're listening to us live on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't forget, you can find us on your Civic Media app. If you don't have it, go to the Google Play Store or the App Store and get yourself the app. It's free. You can listen to us. You can text. You can call. You can call now. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. And share stories. Have you ever taken an improv class with by yourself, with a company? And we're welcoming back Amy Westrup, who works for Comedy Sports and just is a phenomenal human being. Amy,
wow.
You are.
Is this recording? I got to tell my parents that. Look what someone said about me. Mom and Dad, look.
Be proud of me.
Well, there are 9 of us in my family, so it's, you know, you take what you can get.
So. Amy, one of the things I've talked to you about before is the fact that, you know, and this goes for me too, you know, I started doing comedy in my late 20s. I started doing stand-up in my mid-30s. You came to improv later. Not late, but later.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
How important is that for you? That you made that step. There's so many people out there, even at a younger age than us in their 20s, they say, I can't go back to school. I can't take up this. I can't do that. I'm too old. I don't have enough time, money. How does it feel that you decided, you know what, I'm going to take this class and now see you so many years down the road?
Yeah, well, let me tell you, it wasn't easy because like you, Greg, I mean, a million years ago, I did stand up.
Yeah.
I live in Chicago. I lived in all over the Midwest. And I did stand up with, I mean, very mild success, but I just had this, you know, comedic itch.
Yeah.
And I liked doing it. And when I lived in Chicago, you know, of course, like everybody, it's like, I want to do Second City or yeah. Iowa or whatever. And it was not possible. It was fiscally not possible for yeah. me to do that. So that was frustrating, right? So you're like, all right, well, it's not going to happen. And you move on. So fast forward, you know, 20 years. And I was just grinding away up here in Milwaukee and crushing it, you know, doing my legal marketing stuff. And all of a sudden, life threw me a curveball. Like I had 2 little kids and, you know, married and grinding away. And life threw me a curveball and I was out of a job.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, that was unexpected. And it really knocked me like for 6. I mean, I was down and out. I was like, what am I going to do? And so I just threw myself into like Uber mom stuff, you know, and like made all the costumes for every play on the North Shore. I can't sew, by the way. So it was interesting. But, you know, I just coached every middle school sport you could possibly coach. Yeah. And then one day I just was like, man, I got this little comedy itch still, but I had no place to do it. And, it's funny because then somebody's like, well, you should go take the comedy sports workshops. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I had never been. I did not know what it was. And yeah. That's a sad commentary on me. But it's interesting because I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. And it was a big sacrifice because, you know, like I had little kids. But it's funny because when you're little, but to get deep here, when you're little, like it happens naturally. Like everybody's like, oh, you should go try this. And so you do.
Yeah.
And like, oh, you're good at climbing trees. You should go and rock climb. Or you're good at throwing that ball. You should go and try to play baseball. And you do. And there are all these adults leading you and telling you what you should go and do. But when you're an adult, when you're older, it's something that you have to actively choose to do. And you have to choose to grow.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to not make that choice, because being an adult and taking care of other people is hard enough. And you're like, why do I want to put more challenges on myself? But I'm telling you, if you don't, you will get lost. And then you're no good for anybody,
yeah,
or to anybody. Because I mean, I literally was like dying on the vine, man. Like, I have to do something to get me out of this funk. And I went to that first improv class and I was like, oh, I'm going to crush this. I was great at stand-up. I was great in quotes at stand-up. I'm going to crush this. I go in the first 15, I think the first 15 minutes was eye contact.
Yeah.
And I got paired up with like a 22-year-old dude. And then I was 43 at the time. And he stared at me for 10 minutes straight. It was the most uncomfortable I have ever been in my life. And I thought, he's thinking like, oh, wow, women really do have mustaches. That's amazing. I mean, like every insecurity,
yeah,
I ever had. And it was kind of like, man, it really got me out of my comfort zone. And I walked out of there going, I didn't think that's what that was going to be. I thought it was about being funny. And then I processed it and I was like, man, that rule of like yes anding and making eye contact and listening to people. And this was all in the first session, and having each people's backs. Mm-hmm. And like knowing that I walked into that room, the only unique thing about me in that room was that I was 43. And the only thing I had in common with anyone was that three of the women that were in that class were born the year I graduated from high school.
Oh.
So I was like, oh my God. But I'm telling you what, from that, I drove home that night going, what in the heck just happened? And by the time I got home, I was like, I love that.
Yep.
And it corresponded with me looking for a new job. And as I took these classes, it helped my confidence.
Yeah.
You know, and it was great. And, but it's a big step. It's a big step to get out of your comfort zone and to grow. But I teaching a class, we have our last 101 class for Comedy Sports. Next week, we have our big show. And the youngest person in that class is 20 and the oldest is in their 60s. Those two are best friends. They are great. They work so well together. It's what these workshops and what improv and comedy, the comedy community in Milwaukee is one of the best.
Yeah.
So nice, so welcoming. And it's a beautiful cross-section of humanity. You are going to meet people that you will have never met otherwise.
Yeah.
And you're going to be fast friends. And the reason is because it's all predicated on support. And your idea is valuable. And I'm listening to you. Yeah. There's a quote that says, to be listened to is for some as close to being loved.
Yeah.
And it's because people don't listen to each other anymore. So it's a very long way to answer your question, but it really did. It changed my life, and it was a big step, but I was really glad I did it. And then now I'm kind of doing it full time, you know, and that's insane to me that my worlds of consulting and comedy mashed up to create comedy consulting. But it's great.
And
so
that's what I love. I love that story of, you know, taking turns in life, having the courage to do it. And, you know, really, before we get out of here, shout out to our partners, sure, our very supportive partners in our lives who are like, yeah, go do it. Have fun. Be yourself.
Oh,
yeah.
Without question. You can't do it without support. But even if you don't have that support, that shouldn't stop you.
Yeah.
Because, and if someone's like, yeah, that's a dumb idea, it's like, well, what do you know?
Yep.
You know, they're saying that because of their own insecurity. I always say, like, I never get nervous. I only get excited to get on stage because I know the people in the audience, there are people in there like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And if she can do it, I can do it. So that's, you know, and just take that with life, you know, just yes and stuff in life, and take those steps, follow your feet, because you'll be happy that you did.
Amy Westrup, thank you so much for being here. You can see her at Comedy Sports. You can see her.
Yeah.
She probably knows nine of the people you know. Thank you so much for being here and talking to us about wonderful comedy scene here in Milwaukee. Amy, I love you.
Call down to Comedy Sports and grab tickets. Call up about workshops. Call up about Applied and everything. Yep. We'd love to help you. And we love Milwaukee. And we love that we've been here for 40 years.
And I love you too very much. We'll hang out soon. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us. Matt and Aaron on the air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Today marks 2 years since the start of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. President Biden issuing hundreds of new sanctions against Russia Friday, targeting the country's war machine. After a controversial Alabama Supreme Court ruling that has prompted some hospitals in the state to pause in vitro fertilization, former President Trump saying he supports IVF.
The Republican Party should always be on the side of the miracle of life and the side of mothers, fathers, and their beautiful babies. And IVF is an important part of that.
The Biden campaign, meanwhile, saying the Alabama ruling is a downstream effect of Trump's Supreme Court nominations, who eventually helped overturn Roe versus Wade. U.S. officials once again tracking another high-altitude balloon of unknown origin. It comes just over a year since the Chinese spy balloon grabbed national headlines and was shot down. Fighter jets scrambled over Utah Friday. This is ABC News.
Baseball gets started tomorrow. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers' first exhibition game of spring training out in Arizona tomorrow against the Padres. The first pitch at 2:10 Central Time. There's been talk that Sal Frelick will play some third base this spring. When will that happen? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
First day. He's special, man. The kid's special. He can do it. That people ask me, why is he doing it? Because he can. If anybody can do it, it's Sal.
NBA, the Bucks and the Timberwolves tonight in Minnesota. Milwaukee will be without Chris Middleton, still dealing with an ankle injury. NFL, Packers' Matt LaFleur introducing Jeff Hafley as the team's new defensive coordinator.
Certainly have always had respect for him from afar as a football coach. He's worked with my brother at two different stops. He's worked with Kyle Shanahan at two different stops in Cleveland and San Francisco, and I know how those guys, how much respect they have for him as a person first and a coach second.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low of 5 to 10 above. For tomorrow, sunshine's back, breezy, and highs in the upper 30s. On Sunday, warming to the low 40s with a mixture of sun and clouds. Windy, warmer, sunny, and mid-50s Monday. Right now, it's 3.
Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my bird.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am sitting in for Jane Matt Nair, who is off today. She'll be back on Monday. My name is Greg Bach, your regular co-host Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon. Right here in WAUK, 540 a.m., 101.1 FM. Calvin is on the boards, and we're having a fun time. We're having a great time. We're happy you're here. You can call in. You can text 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can also join the live stream, whether that's on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, and make a comment. They are commenting a lot on the snacking issue right now. I make mention about wanting snacks, and they really want me to eat. If they've seen me, they might be like, hey, man, put down the trail mix. Go for a walk. Drink some water. But I love myself no matter what. And I love having this next guest on. He is our movie guy from onmilwaukee.com. Mr. Matt. Sorry, is it Matt Miller or Matt Mueller?
Miller. I knew it. The delicious beverage.
All right. Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com here to talk about movies and the such. And I don't know. Is there a, Matt, is there a, an event coming up that interests you at all?
I think there's going to be a large gathering of celebrities, perhaps honoring the movies of the past year that I keep an eye on around this time of year. And that's right. You guessed it. It's the Screen Actors Guild Awards.
Yeah,
Saturday night.
You did it. You could take
the Oscars too.
The Oscars. So we are coming at the, towards the end of award season with the big one. We had a spirited conversation the last time you were here regarding Barbie. And I have to say, Matt, right after you discussed that point, you brought the points, which was, you know, Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig not getting, nominated for looking at it, very legitimate reasons. I heard a lot of people discussing those points that you brought up. I let go of like all the like raising my fist and yelling at the wind. And, you know, I mean, I think that this is going to be an interesting award ceremony. I mean, 13 nominations for Oppenheimer. It seems like it's not going to get snubbed. It's going to walk away with some big awards. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah. First of all, I want to say When the nominations first came out, I think it was totally fair for people to be like, how did Greta Gerwig not get nominated for Barbie? You know? And I think it's a little frustrating for me because I remember when she made Lady Bird, which is a terrific movie. I love Lady Bird so much. But the word on that movie was like, oh, like how hard is it to direct a coming of age movie? You know, a small movie like this, there's how difficult is it to manage a movie like that? And then she makes Barbie, which is this massive production with song and dance numbers and these massive sets. And, you know, all of like this balance of tone that makes $1 billion that connects with audiences. And they're like, nah, still not one of the top five. But again, it is a movie that was nominated for a handful of Oscar nominations. I think 7 or 8.
Eight. Two handfuls.
Yeah. And Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie still got nominated. It's not like they got totally overlooked. They just didn't get nominated in certain categories that you may have expected. But I totally understand why people were like, how does this happen?
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned it may get kind of blanked on Oscar night. And part of that is because it's a comedy.
Yeah.
First and foremost, it is a comedy. And the Oscars famously do not appreciate comedy. They do not appreciate genre. Horror movies have had this problem. Comedies have had this problem. Animated movies, which is not a genre, which is just a medium of film, have that problem. And so they have a hard time kind of being like, oh, it's a lark. It's a comedy. I had a good time with it. How good could it be? Never mind that comedies are oftentimes our favorite movies of all time.
Well, I have a question on that. You're not the first person I've heard to say that. You know, the Academy, the voting Academy, is made up of the individuals who are in these movies, who produce these movies, who direct these movies. And it's always made me wonder. Now, I'm not saying a comedy should be every year. If it's not good to be nominated, then it shouldn't be nominated. But there are definitely movies out there, comedies, that should be nominated more than they ever have been. Is it like the voting group? Are they afraid to nominate their own or vote for their own? Because it just wouldn't make sense that in an industry that they all work in movies that they've appeared in, they're like, no, I need the film that was made in the 12th century and has filtered lights and you know, it's like it's the typical nominations.
Yeah, you can say it, like the very serious movies,
yeah.
You know, capital letter, very serious movies. And part of that is kind of the award season complex of, you know, the narratives around Oscars are never about comedies. They're never about horror movies. They're never about genre movies. They're always about the biopics, yeah, and about the based on a true story movies and the, ooh, this is a portrait of how we live now. And that's driven by the trades. That's driven by the studios who are releasing these movies at these optimal times. I remember when Get Out came out 5 years ago and people were like, oh, how did that movie not win more Oscars? And I'm sitting there being like, it's incredible. It won any Oscars.
Yes.
It was a horror movie, a crowd pleaser horror movie released in March. That is not the path to winning an Oscar.
Jordan Peele did not say, like, I'm going to go for an Oscar. He's like, just please put out this film.
Yeah. Well, and a little bit, too, is people who vote for it, we like to imagine, like, the Oscars have such a high place that we like to imagine the people voting for Oscars care really hard and watch all the movies and think really hard about what their vote says. And really, I would bet most of the Academy does not think that way. Most of the Academy does not watch all of the movies. A lot of the Academy, I feel, oftentimes when they're nominating movies, nominating performances, they're just like, okay, which performances have gotten, should I be saying that I liked? You know, they're like you at a conversation at a party and someone's like, oh, have you watched this TV show? And you're like, oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, no, it's great. Like some Oscar voters work that way where they're like, oh, yeah, not Maestro, great movie, love. Yeah, I heard Bradley Cooper so good in it. And it's so much based on, you know, the buzz around the movie, as opposed to them sitting down and being like, I don't think I really like this movie that much.
You know, and actually, I'm glad you brought Maestro up because you got like, it feels like I'm sure there are more categories, but right now in my head, I just think there's three kinds of film when it comes to the Oscars. There's a movie like Oppenheimer that has a pedigree with all of their actors, directors, everything about it says this should and will get Oscar buzz. And it did. It got 13 nominations. It's the favorite. It's a fantastic film to watch.
It's going to win. Like, that's going to win Best Picture. Yeah. Like, if you're a betting person, bet on that.
And then you've got a movie, like you just said, Get Out, where it's released in March. It's a horror movie. It's a genre film. It doesn't tick any of the boxes. And here it is. But then you've got a movie like Maestro that at first seemed like, oh my gosh, this looks amazing. And then like, it wasn't even behind the backs of the makers, but as the press started to happen, you felt like, oh, you're really trying to push this on us. And then it sort of went away. No one really cared about it, but it got Oscar nominations, but it felt like it was one of those, like if AI made a movie that was going to go to the Oscars, like we processed a film this and it's now going to the Oscars and no one cares about it. And that just seems odd. I mean, does that happen a lot?
It does. I feel like there's at least a movie or two every year that gets nominated for a bunch of awards, not because of enthusiasm for the movie or people being like, I think this is one of the best films of the year, but of kind of like I was talking about, kind of like the awards complex and people being like, oh, well, this is the movie that I feel like I should be voting for, so I'm voting for this movie. Or, oh, so like you've had cases of that where, you know, Darkest Hour, it comes to mind. And like you said, like obviously Maestro this year, there are a lot, like Eddie Redmayne's nomination for The Danish Girl for Best Actor was one where it was like, everyone who saw that movie was like, he's kind of the worst part. Like, this is an arguably offensive movie with an offensive lead performance in it, and he got nominated kind of because a year in advance people were like, well, he just won an Oscar and it's a transformative performance in a drama from a guy who's won Best Picture, obviously this will be in the conversation. And it gets in the conversation not based on enthusiasm or based on people's love of a performance or a movie, but based on people being like, well, that should be in the conversation, right? Like NIAID feels a little bit that way too, where it's just like, no one's talking about NIAID. No one has this great love of NIAID, but somehow Jodie Foster and Annette Bening both got nominations. Like, there's always a movie every year that kind of is like, yeah, I guess. Like, Helen Mirren was kind of the master of that for a few years, with stuff like Hitchcock and Trumbo. Yeah. It was just like, when people were filling out their ballots, they were like, I don't know, fifth place, Helen Mirren, sure. Yeah. Like, you know, it's kind of a shrug of a nomination.
I think, the way you said that helps me frame my feelings on this, which is, here's like, hey, Greg, here's a movie. He worked really hard on this. He did all these things. He put on a nose. He learned to conduct. He got a tan. He changed his voice. He's Bradley Cooper. I love Bradley Cooper. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like with Maestro, I'm being told I have to like it for all of these reasons. And everyone's like, it's fine, but it's not.
Well, and those are, I feel like we hit a point with that with Leo DiCaprio winning for The Revenant about a decade ago, because that was so much of like, he's earned this.
Yeah.
He was cold. He ate a raw liver. Oh, the shoot was so hard. And then we gave him the Oscar for The Revenant, and everyone immediately was like, that's not a good performance and a not good movie, right? Like, you just immediately were like, we gave it for that. Like, the Oscars so much are about narratives and about, you know, it's so funny because people are always grumbling every year about, you know, oh, the Oscars, they never get it right. And they don't, but they're great conversation points, and they're interesting kind of Hollywood telling its own story narratives. So this year in Best Actor, for instance, you have a case of Paul Giamatti versus Cillian Murphy. That's the race there. And I think everyone thinks Cillian Murphy should win. Oppenheimer rests on his shoulders. That movie is Cillian Murphy on screen, but Paul Giamatti has never won before. He's only been nominated, I believe, once before, and not for Sideways, but for Cinderella Man.
You said that last time.
It's the weirdest thing. It's so weird. How do you nominate Sideways for Best Picture and be like, but Paul Giamatti's just okay?
I think he was nominated for Private Parts.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
And there is all of a sudden this narrative of like, oh, Paul Giamatti, he's earned this. Like, we really want to give it. Like, these things happen. And that's where you get these odds. Like, that happened with Jeff Bridges and Colin Firth, where I think Colin Firth is terrific in a movie called A Single Man.
Yeah.
It's a terrific movie. He should have won that year, but he didn't, because Jeff Bridges, everyone decided the year of Crazy Heart that he was due. That he, oh, wow, he's got to get this award for this movie that almost didn't get released in theaters. That was going to be a direct-to-DVD movie. And they were like, I don't know, toss it in theaters. People like Jeff Bridges. We'll see how it goes. And all of a sudden, he wins. And then the following year, Colin Firth wins for King's Speech. Yet Jeff Bridges could have won that year for True Grit, which I think is a more iconic, better performance on some level. And it's one you actually think of when you think of Jeff Bridges, as opposed to Crazy Heart, which is one of those movies that you have not thought of until this very moment when I brought it up.
Matt Miller from On Milwaukee. Stick around for one more conversation.
Yeah,
I want to come back and talk about your thoughts, like your picks. And we have to talk about Madam Web a little bit.
Oh, we got to get in the web.
We got to get stuff in the web. It's Webuary, baby. It's Webuary. Stick around. I'm going to go grab some water and some more fruit snacks. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The Todd Alba Show. I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay, go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am Greg Bach filling in for Jane Matt Nair, who is off today. She'll be back Monday. Don't miss her too much. She's having some fun. We are keeping the show going, talking to Mr. Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com. We are talking Oscar season. We're coming back and we want to discuss your picks. Like, what do you said that you think that Oppenheimer is going to win it for Best Picture? It seems like it's just a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, so voting has barely started for the Oscars. That's always the funny thing about Oscar season is like just now they're actually voting on the Oscars.
It's not done and being processed right now?
It is not done. It has not even begun being processed right now. It's absolutely wild how long this takes. We need to move the Oscars back to late February at the latest. Like, Oscars, call me. Easiest fix you could make to the show. Yeah. But there's still a lot to happen. We'll see what happens at the Screen Actors Guild Awards Saturday night on Netflix. Truly, that, you know, will be an interesting thing for some of the races. But there are a few awards that I think we can lock up right away. Best Picture is going to Oppenheimer. That's going to happen. It has got the most buzz. It was a success. It has all the narratives around it. And it's a movie that everyone, pretty much everyone's like, yeah, that's a pretty tremendous movie.
Yeah.
That is an incredible movie. The other lock is Christopher Nolan for Best Director for Oppenheimer.
Will this be his first Oscar?
It will be his first Oscar win, absolutely. Okay. And that's part of the narrative here that, you know, he's never won before. He, you know, the Dark Knight getting snubbed all those years ago is the reason why we've gone from like 10 nominees to a mix of nominees and back to 10. He's had this kind of fractured history with the Academy. And I feel now everyone's like, this is your crowning achievement here. Have an Oscar. And also Robert Downey Jr. similarly is going to win Best Supporting Actor for Oppenheimer. Another kind of career achievement award of like, you've done so much.
Yeah.
Obviously you were the centerpiece of the biggest franchise in film history, arguably. And now you were putting in this really nuanced, really great performance in this serious drama that made $1 billion too. Have an Oscar, you know?
Have an Oscar.
Yeah, that's how the Oscars work. They just learned, like, here, you can have
They press a button, it comes shooting out, have an Oscar.
Yeah, it's like the bank.
Exactly.
It just sends to their chamber. There's still a handful of awards, however, that are up in the air a little bit. Like I said, Best Actor is really tight between Paul Giamatti and Cillian Murphy. And I was off, I really thought it was like Cillian Murphy is just so obvious of a choice. He is the most mammoth performance of the year. But if they like to spread the love at the Oscars, they like to give a lot of different movies attention and a lot of different things, generally a lot of attention. Last year was kind of a different in that regard with Everything Everywhere All at Once winning everything.
Yeah.
But you know, with a title like that, you have to give it all.
And I felt like that award, like, you know, you mentioned before about the Oscars not getting it right, quote unquote. That was the year where I felt like the will of the people dictated where everything went. Like the Oscars were just like, you know, let's just let, we had some hard years. Let's just make everyone happy. And could it be because
we need Green Book Best Picture 5 years ago? Yeah. We gotta do something right.
And that, and that's the thing too, is like, you know, they COVID hit them the movies so hard, and they made such a hard push to get people back into the movie theaters. And I would say that, like, I would say that Oppenheimer and Barbie did something that even the MCU films weren't able to do in the past 2 years, which is get people off their tuchuses and into the theater and get them excited about seeing film in that space again.
And not for a Marvel movie. Not
exactly.
For a sequel. And I know it's very silly to be like Barbie, this original movie, Barbie. But, you know, it is.
Yeah.
And it was an original vision from Greta Gerwig. And, you know, the fact that the two highest grossing movies of last year, outside, like leaving out Super Mario Brothers, which, of course, you know, the animated kids movie based on an iconic character.
Loved it.
But the two highest grossing movies of last year were an original Barbie movie from an auteur director and a World War II biopic that's half in black and white.
Yeah.
Is serious. Like, that's very, it's exciting as someone who follows film and wants a diversity of films in theaters and wants to see superhero movies, but also dramas and also comedies and also horror movies. It was really exciting to see people show up for these disparate things. And I think they're going to reward Oppenheimer a lot for that. And they'll reward Barbie somewhere. Barbie, I don't think, is going to go home empty-handed. I think it'll win Best Original Song at the very least,
yeah.
Which feels a little bit like a pat on the head, a little bit like, here, you can have your song award. But I'd love to see it win like a production award or something like that, because the production on that movie is so extravagant, so bright,
yeah.
So old school Hollywood. But then it's contending with Poor Things, which, if you've seen Poor Things, is production design the movie. Like, there's so much detail and so much world that they created in Poor Things that I have a hard time seeing anyone beating that. And again, that is the more serious movie. That is the more, you know, Oscar-y movie, despite the fact that it's essentially a 2.5-hour long sex comedy. You know, it's a very fun, really enjoyable movie, but it's got a little bit more of a patina of seriousness about it, as opposed to Barbie is the Mattel movie.
So we only have a couple minutes left, and I want to get through it as quickly as possible. Madam Web is the latest installment in Sony's Spider-Man universe. I just really quickly, if you could sum up, why do you think Sony is continually kicking a dead horse on live action? Their animated movies are fantastic with Spider-Man, but they continue to make these movies where people are like, no one asked for this. No one asked for Matt. No one, who's Kraven? Like, there are people out there who know Kraven the Hunter is, but not enough people that's going to bring them to the theater. So it's just, what is Sony's vision?
Keeping the rights to Spider-Man is part one, you know, keeping these characters in their kind of, you know, vault.
Yeah.
I know they share Spider-Man with Disney, but they have the, like, the Spider-Man movies are Sony movies. They are not Marvel movies. Sony makes a large part of the profit on that. And part of it is, you know, we all thought the Venom movies were going to be a really bad idea.
Yeah.
Those are some of the highest grossing movies of their years.
Yeah.
Like, I think they are kind of throwing darts at a wall and being like, maybe this character will hit.
Yeah.
Now, it'd be nice if they stopped making movies that looked like they were pulled out of 2005, you know, that didn't feel like they were apologizing for being superhero movies. But they get a lot of viral attention. They get a lot of meme attention, which is weird because the movies are not fun. Morbius is not a good, fun movie. It's a boring movie to watch. Yeah. And Madame Web is also not very good.
Madame Web!
Don't bother.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com is our movie guy. He'll be here next month, and we'll go over all of the snubs and the pubs, I don't know. But thank you so much, Matt, for being here. We appreciate it. Always love talking movies with you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Mm-hmm. What's on your to-do list? Check your mail? Get groceries? How about getting your annual vaccines? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. Because we've got you. With local vaccine events and access to transportation, protecting yourself and your loved ones is not a chore anymore.
You've got this.
A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging. Funded by the U.S. Administration for Community Living through a grant to U.S. Aging. Learn more at yougotthis.usaging.org.
This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.